Good morning, everybody. How many of you just came back last night and you had a delay? Yeah, no delay? Yeah, I heard there was some delay at the airport. Some flights were delayed, some 3 hours. Okay, but I thank God for every one of you who are here today, whether you attended the camp or you have not attended the camp, because God has a word for you. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to share with you a word from a very familiar passage, and I have entitled today's message as Limited Resources and Unlimited God. Our resources are limited, but we have a God who is unlimited. And the passage of for today is a very familiar story of how Jesus fed the 5,000. And it's a situation whereby the disciples face a situation of limited resources. Okay, only five loaves of bread and only 2 fish. How could they feed 5,000? And Jesus performed a wonderful miracle of provision. And the situation, limited resources, unlimited God. And I want to read to you the passage from Mark chapter 6, 33 to verse 44. Okay, you're ready? I will read it to you. Okay, verse 33. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciple came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it is already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have?" He asked. "Go and see." When they found out, he said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Let's pray together. Dear God, we want to come before you this morning and sit at the feet of Jesus. Holy Spirit, please teach us. Let your word reveal the truth of God in us. Pray for your revelation, Holy Spirit, so that God, we would be enlightened and we could live a victory life, a life of a victory in Jesus' name. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. This is a very familiar passage, you know, and sometimes familiar passage, when we look at it, we just say, I already know the passage very well, okay, and we sometimes let the truth of God just skip us through, and the revelation of God will just fly past us because we think, we know it's a very familiar passage. So this morning, I want to encourage you to open your hearts, open your mind, because even familiar passages, the Holy Spirit can still reveal to us. Amen? Yeah, say to your neighbor, say the Holy Spirit will speak to you. So open your hearts, okay? In order to fully appreciate the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, we need to do a little bit of rewind. You know, just like watching a show, you know this story, you need to rewind a little bit back to get the details. And this morning, before we delve into the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, we'll rewind the story a little bit back, a little bit further, so that we begin to understand the background of how the disciples were feeling. What are the emotions upheaval that they actually were feeling when Jesus asked them to feed the 5,000? So earlier, what happened was this. Jesus has sent the 12 disciples out to serve the community, instructing them not to take extra money. Don't take extra money. Don't take extra food. Don't take extra clothing. Don't take extra shoes. And they were to rely on God for provision through the homes that they visited. And this wasn't a very short time, not a one-day affair. Jesus told them, don't take anything extra. You are supposed to visit the community, pray for the sick, preach the kingdom of God over a, likely to be over an extended period of time. Okay, and let me read to you the passage. Matthew 6, verse 7 to 10. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. And this were his instruction. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belt, wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. That means we expect from by reading the passage that there was an extended period of time of ministry where the disciples were ministering to the community, preaching the kingdom of God, setting the captives free, and healing the sick. Okay, and for the disciples, it was not just a time of ministry to the community. It was also a time, a lesson for them to learn how to continue to rely on God's provision while not taking anything extra when they have very limited resources. They were to rely on God and how God will lead them to homes whereby they will be provided with the living needs. Okay. However, this wasn't the only lesson that the disciples were to learn about relying on God. Very, very soon, in the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples were about to learn another lesson of how to rely on God when unexpected circumstances, situation arises. And at the end of this, at the end of the ministry with the community, all the disciples came back to Jesus and they were tired, they were hungry, okay, and they need a time to rest. And Jesus had wanted to bring these tired and hungry disciples to another place, a remote place whereby they could then take time to eat, to rest, and be refreshed for the next journey. So let me just take you to the passage from Mark 6, verse 30 to 32. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they have done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. And the disciples were ministering very, very busy. They didn't have time to eat. And over a couple of days, over extended time, they were tired. They were hungry. And they wanted to rest. And Jesus said, let me take you to a remote place, to a solitary place, whereby you can eat, rest, and be refreshed. And what is a solitary place? In the Strong Concordance, it refers to a place, the solitary place referred to an unpopulated area, an unpopulated place in the wilderness. And no shops, no residents there. And it was a place far from the town center. It was such a place Jesus chose for the disciples to rest, eat, and get refreshed. The disciples were hungry because they had no time to eat earlier. They were so busy in the ministry. They were tired over an extended time of ministry, and they were looking forward. Definitely, they were looking forward. Let's have a time to rest, to refresh, and to eat so that they could get enough strength for the next milestone of their ministry. And with this understanding of the background, I would like to share with you three main points today from the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. The first one, unexpected disruption. And in our lives, we have very limited resources. Our time is limited, our resources is limited, and sometimes with all this restriction, when an unexpected event came and then hit us, we just do not know what to do. And sometimes we ask God, Lord, why? Why me? Why these circumstances? Why this unexpected turn of event? And we sometimes ask whether Jesus knows what to do or not. I want to bring you to the second point then. Jesus knew what to do, and he knew how to deliver us. He knew how to help us in the midst of our limited resources. And we will learn in from our third point how to look up to God, look up to our unlimited God for provision for help in times of our limited resources and difficulty. Yeah, are you with me so far? Yeah, if you give me some encouragement, just wave your hand a little bit so that I know that you are with me. Okay. Let me now take you to the first point, unexpected disruption. So the disciples, They were looking forward, really looking forward to a time to eat, to rest, to be refreshed, so that they could then move forward for the next journey. Okay, but with the plans were disrupted, because when we read the story, they were expecting no crowd, because a solitary place, remote place, who will be there, you know, to disturb them? But the disciples were to be disappointed. Why? Because when they arrive at a solitary place whereby it's expected to be empty, nothing is there, they found a large crowd waiting for them. A large crowd waiting for ministry. And that disciples' plan to rest, eat, and be refreshed was now disrupted. An unexpected turn of event now threw the plan of Jesus and the disciples into disarray. All of us have plans for our life, isn't it? I mean, wherever you are, you're thinking, well, you have plans for your career, plans for your family, plans for your personal self. But what if those plans were suddenly thrown into disarray? You have plans for a sum of money. Suddenly something happened. Your sum of money has to be spent doing other things. You have plans for your family, but something happened and a breakdown happened. What if an unexpected development creates uncertainty, unease as you journey in your life? These unexpected events interfere with your plans. And it's like a curveball has suddenly fly towards us and hit us unexpectedly. Our peace has been disturbed. What do we do then? We sometimes wonder what hit us, isn't it? So we were just happily journeying in life, and suddenly a curveball hit us, and we wonder what hit us. Why the sudden turn of event? What happened? And the disciples were hit. They were expecting to rest. Suddenly there was a big crowd waiting for them. This means that the plan to rest, eat, refresh were all disrupted. And let's take a look at what hit the disciples. First of all, we take a look at the crowd. Who are these people? Who are this crowd? Why were they there at the first place? And then we take a look at Jesus' reaction to the crowd. And then, of course, we'll take a look at the disciples' reaction to the unwelcome crowd that disturbed the plan. Okay, so let's take a look at the crowd. Who are these people? The crowd. The crowd were attracted to meet Jesus for various reasons. Some came because they require healing, and the reference is taken from John 6, verse 2. Some wanted to know more about the kingdom of God, and they were attracted by Jesus' teaching. They wanted to know more about God's work, about God's kingdom. And the people followed Jesus, came by foot from town to the solitary place because they wanted Jesus to minister to them. And they were hungry for Jesus. Some of them traveled 10 kilometers. Okay, the Bible didn't tell the distance, but some Bible commentators said that the people traveled 3 kilometers, 4 kilometers, 5 kilometers from all the towns around, some 10 kilometers, just to meet Jesus at the solitary place. And they were hungry to know more about the kingdom of God. They were hungry for Jesus to minister to their need. Take a look at that verse, Mark 6, verse 33 to 34. But many who saw them leaving recognized them. And what did they do? They ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw that large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. These people were hungry for Jesus. And these people have got needs. And Jesus knew their need. Jesus reacted by beginning to teach them about many things about the kingdom of God, because he had compassion on the people. If you take a look, the people has got a genuine need. They were hungry for Jesus. They want Jesus to minister to them. They want to know more about the kingdom of God. They had a healing need. They want Jesus to meet their needs. And it was a genuine need. Nothing wrong with the crowd. Nothing wrong with the people. They came for God. Okay, how about Jesus? Was Jesus right in ministering to the people? Yes. Jesus was correct. These people have got need. Jesus came to minister to the sick, to the lost, and to help them know about the kingdom of God. Nothing wrong with Jesus. Jesus was correct in ministering to the crowd. But sometimes in life it's like that. There is a genuine need, and there is a genuine requirement for you to meet the situation. But sometimes at the back of the mind, we ask, why me? Why me? Why do I need to rise up and meet the situation? Why should it always be me to be at the forefront to solve a problem? And in this situation, it was a genuine need. The crowd has a genuine need. Jesus did correctly by ministering to the crowd. But at whose expense? At the disciples' expense? Why should they? And some of this question the disciple may be asking, why at my expense? Why should the need disturb my rest, my eating, my refreshment? The needs of the unexpected crowd and the response of Jesus disrupted the disciples' plan to rest. And the disciples had not eaten. They were tired. They could be wondering, how come Jesus, you didn't send the crowd away? You know, tell them to come back another day and we will visit the town. But instead, Jesus continued to minister to the crowd. And what if Jesus had sent the crowd away? It could have been, the plan would not have been disrupted. It was an event that could have been avoided. You know, and when plans are disturbed, we also ask God the same question. Why God? Why me? Why the situation? Why the unexpected turn of event? And even if a situation happened, could Jesus you have done it in another way? Maybe minister later, let us eat first. And the disciples were still hoping for Jesus to first either send the crowd away or Jesus, you can minister, but don't minister too late, you know. You can teach the crowd, but after teaching, immediately send the people away so that the disciples could still get some rest and get to eat. And it was already very late, but not too late, not so late for this Jesus to dismiss the crowd, for them to return to the town and have their meal. Any later would mean that there was no time for the people to get back to buy food, get back to the town to rest. And if Jesus would have let the people go earlier, the disciples would at least have some time to eat and to rest. But the disciples were to be disturbed. They were to be, the plans were to be intervened. What's their thinking? The expectation were to be disturbed further with another unexpected demand. They didn't expect it. Okay, but there was another unexpected turn of event, unexpected demand that came upon the disciples. And this unexpected demand came from who? Came from Jesus. The hope of rest, the hope of refreshment were dashed by another unexpected demand, another unexpected event, the demand of Jesus. What did Jesus demand for them to do? The disciples asked Jesus to send the crowd away to the surrounding villages to buy food so that it wouldn't be too late. But Jesus told, gave them another unexpected demand. What did he do? Jesus told them, you feed the disciples yourself. Go ahead and feed the disciples. No time already. The disciples say, send them away. Jesus said, no, you give them something to eat. Mark 6, verse 35 to 37. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. So send them away. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy something to eat. But he answered, he demanded, you give them something to eat instead. And the disciples said, they said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? The disciples may be thinking, are you sure, Jesus? Still have to take care of others. Sometimes we say that, right? They couldn't even take care of themselves. Our resources are so limited. How could we take care of others? No time, no money, no food. We couldn't even take care of ourselves. How could we now take care of others? Is it something familiar to us? Sometimes we ask that question, right? I couldn't even take care of myself. Jesus, are you sure you put me there to take care of others? And it was another unexpected event. It brought much anxiety to the disciples. It brought It brought a lot of probably uncertainty to the disciples. The disciples were faced with a lot of restriction. Solitary place. No shop. No population. No resident. Secondly, it was already very late, too late to get back to town and then come back to feed the people. Finally, they got no money. Okay. Even if you've got money, also no shop. How to feed a congregation of 5,000 people? It was too late. Desolate place. No money, no resources, desperate situation. And yet Jesus demanded, you feed the 5,000. In short, no time, no resources. Not to forget, the disciples were hungry. The disciples were tired from the extended ministry earlier. It seems an impossibility to meet Jesus' demand. And Jesus' unexpected demand disturbed the disciples. Peace in their heart was gone. Why did Jesus allow it? Do we at times feel like the disciples? Why did you allow it, Jesus? Why, when you know that I have limited resources, you know that I have limited time, I don't have the resources to solve the issue of this unexpected event, unseen circumstances that fall in my way. It seems to be an impossibility to meet the situation God has allowed or put us. Why does Jesus allow it? Does Jesus know what he's doing? Isn't it a question we ask? Jesus, do you know what you're doing or not? Why allow such an event to take place in my life? I want to encourage you that Jesus knew what to do. Jesus knew what to do. And with that, I want to move on to my second point. Jesus knew what to do. Are you following me? Yes? Yeah. Say to your neighbor, Jesus knew what to do. Yeah. Jesus knew what to do, even if you do not know what to do, even though you may be lost. The disciples were lost. How could they handle such an impossible situation? How to meet Jesus' demand to feed the crowd? The disciples did not know what to do. The disciples might be wondering, Jesus, do you know what you're asking for? Do you know what you're doing? The Bible says Jesus knew exactly what to do. I'm going to read to you a parallel passage relating to the feeding of the 5,000 from John chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. And he reads verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Let me just repeat this. He asked this only to test Philip, to test the disciples, for he knew, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do to feed the 5,000, to meet the impossible situation. And in this passage, he said, there was a purpose why he demanded the disciples to feed the crowd. He wanted to test the disciples. He wanted to test the hearts. The disciples were lost as to what to do. They have no time, no resources, no more energy, so tired, left to take another task of feeding the 5,000. No need for another responsibility. They might be questioning Jesus on his wisdom and the intent. But in a moment like this, could the disciples still trust Jesus? And when we are faced with unexpected situation, unexpected event that disrupt our plan, it's okay to ask Jesus, do you know what to do? But could we still trust Jesus, or do we walk away from our faith? Many walk away from the faith because they think Jesus didn't know what to do, so they find their own way. Jesus knew exactly what to do in this situation because his eyes was not on the limited resources, limited time. His eyes was on the unlimited God. Not only on the unlimited God, but his eyes was on the purposes of God, on the purpose of God. He wanted the disciples to learn something, to learn the lesson, how to rely on God to fulfill the purpose of God, to fulfill the purpose of God. So what's God's purpose in this situation? Jesus' purpose was that he wanted to meet the needs of the crowd. Jesus viewed the crowd as sheep without a shepherd. He viewed the sheep as lost sheep. And in Mark 6, verse 34, it says this, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." The disciples saw this crowd as unwelcome disruption to their routine and began to wanting to send the crowd away. Jesus saw the purposes of God. Jesus saw the lost sheep. And Jesus came for the lost sheep. He came to save and to serve the lost. That was his purpose of coming down from heaven to earth in order to save the lost and to serve the lost. My friend, are you lost? And you just do not know what to do. Jesus have time for the people. And Jesus always have time for the people. If you are his sheep, yes, he has time for you. If you are lost, the lost sheep, he has time for you. Jesus always has time for every one of us. Jesus could not reject the people. He came for the purpose to minister to the lost. Jesus cannot reject the people who come to him because they are there to want to know more about the kingdom of God. They had a need. They needed Jesus. They were hungry for Jesus. The disciples were anxious and were lost, and because they failed to see God's purpose in this situation. And does the disciples know Jesus' purpose? Of course they do. They embrace Jesus' purpose. They knew that Jesus came so that he can bring about the kingdom of God. But sometimes when we are faced with unexpected situation, when we are into unforeseen circumstances, we may lose focus for a while. And in this instances, the disciples embraced the purpose of God. But because they were faced with such difficult, impossible situation, for a moment, for a while, they failed to see God's purpose. And there will always be situations in our life whereby unexpected event disrupt our plan, disrupt our focus. The unexpected event, unforeseen circumstances, will bring discomfort, will bring anxiety and inconvenience to our life. And in situation like that, what would we do? It's right that we begin to adjust our plans, adjust the things that we will need to do. But I want to encourage you to take another step. When you find an unforeseen circumstances that comes, an unexpected event that turn up, that seems to disrupt your pattern of life, perhaps we could take another additional step, and that is to be still before God and ask God the purpose, why a circumstance has happened, an incident had happened in our life, a situation has taken place in our life. Why, God, would you speak to us? Sometimes God will speak and we will know God's intent. However, sometimes we may not know. Perhaps we would know when we see Jesus one day in heaven, but not all the time God will speak. And we do not know God's intent, but even in those situations, we need to know that God is still unlimited. We have limited resources, we have limited time. God is still unlimited, and we can turn to Him because God's intention is greater than your situation. God's purpose is greater than your situation. God's provision is greater than your situation, and God's help is greater than your situation because Jesus knew what to do. In Jesus' time, God will make all things beautiful in leading us and providing for us in our situation. When the disciples did not think that they have resources, they just did not know what to do, they were lost, Jesus knew what to do because he knew there were available resources that God could bless when the disciples could not see it. The provision of God that came for the 5,000 was not manna dropped from heaven. In the book of Exodus, when the Israelites were lost, they were hungry, God provided manna from heaven to supernaturally feed the Israelites. But in this situation, the provision of God didn't come in lightning and thunder, but God provided earthly resources that God could bless and could multiply to feed the 5,000. In Mark 6, verse 38 the disciples was asking and Jesus was replying, "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Let me read to you a parallel passage in John 6, chapter 6, verse 9. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? You know, the disciples were asked by Jesus to go and check what resources that they have. When the disciples were lost, they didn't even check what resources they had. They thought, no need to. So many people, how to feed? They were restricted by the thinking, by the limited resources. They did not check and see if there were available resources. And Jesus said, go and check. And sometimes when we pray for provision and resources, we might think that God will provide supernatural provision from heaven. We might think that God would come with lightning, God's help will come with lightning and thunder. But sometimes, it's not what we expect. The provision of God can come in a way that is earthly, that's already God has provided. And most times, God help come in that way. Earthly resources provided by God. So, for example, I lead the healing room. And in healing, we always pray for supernatural healing. But healing can also come from medical science, isn't it? God raised doctor so that it's God's grace to provide medical help, to provide healing through a medical science. And I have never rejected medical science because God can use doctors. God can also give healing through a very supernatural means. And our provision from God can come in other forms, like help from the government. Have you downloaded your CDC voucher? God, help can come in the form of GST, a cash rebate. These are help from the government. And we must not think that we shouldn't take it for granted, because this provision from the government are grace of God. This help from the government reduces your spending, because you can then use your resources to be used in other areas. Okay, God can expand, multiply your resources through provision, like this earthly help through the government. Help from God can come in the form of a new job. Okay, you say, it's by my own effort. No, yes, it's by your own effort. But who enable your effort? Who gives you favor for the new job? It can come in the form of increment, can come in the form of bonus. Sometimes we forget, we think that it's our own hard work. But all this provision, all these earthly resources that comes are actually in God's favor and provision in our life. And we need to be thankful for them. The resources the disciples found didn't come from supernatural with lightning and thunder. It came from a source that they didn't even think that it was possible. It came from the people that they wanted to send away. And secondly, it came from a boy, which is from the crowd. Okay, the people, they don't even think how now a boy provided the resources. The disciples did not think that the people, and most of all, a boy, could provide the resources. But finding out that they have resources and almost nothing that they have is not enough to provide a solution for the feeding of the 5,000. It was an unexpected situation. They still needed a miracle and that supernatural provision to make up for the shortfall. Philip was right when they say, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish could not feed the 5,000. They needed to turn these earthly resources to God so that God could bless and bring about provision through multiplication. It's still a miracle. And that was what Jesus did. Jesus took the earthly resources and then he didn't complain. He gave thanks to God so that God could multiply the resources. And that brings me to my final point, which is actually looking up to the Father. Are you with me? I hope that you're still with me. Wonderful. Yeah. Let's Jesus look up to the Father. There were limited resources. How can 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish feeds the 5,000? It is correct. Okay, Jesus took the limited earthly resources that he looked to the Father in heaven, gave thanks for the limited earthly resources, and then he broke the bread and the fish. Let's take a look at the passage, Mark 6, 41 to 44. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and then broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who have eaten was 5,000. God multiplied the bread and the fish supernaturally as Jesus commit the resources to heaven. There was even a leftover of 12 baskets full for the remainders. God could multiply earthly resources when we turn our earthly resources to Him. Sometimes it's not by God provided. God provide by not lightning and thunder. God provide through the earthly resources. But we need to take the earthly resources, give thanks, and God will do the rest. You know, sometimes when we go to God in prayer, we are faced with an unexpected situation. When we face with an unforeseen situation, we go to God in prayer. But our prayer to God is often about complaint, just like the Israelite complaint. God, why this? God, why that? Why do you put me in this situation? I think there's nothing wrong because we need to be frank in our prayer with God. But we shouldn't stop there. And as we turn to God, we must then begin to look not just on our restricted resources that we have or the limited resources that we have. Let's not just look at the restriction that we have and turn our attention to the unlimited God who is able to provide, who is able to multiply, and is able to bless the work of your hands. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus turned to God not to complain. He turned to God and give thanks to God for the limited resources that he had. And then and he expected God to do the work of multiplication. He kept thanks to God for the limited food, limited fish, and trusted God to do the multiplication and provision. And do you have a current need now? You take a look at your limited resources. Oh, my bank account, so little money. Oh, I have so little time. Oh, my health is very, very inhibited. Okay, and I'm sick. Do you feel that what you had is so limited, and suddenly you feel so sorry for yourself because there's no way out of the unexpected situation that you are now in. Today, Jesus wants to encourage you, turn to Him. Commit your resources, the limited earthly resources to Him, and see God provides a breakthrough with the limited resources because He's going to take your limited resources and multiply them. Jesus knew what to do to help you. You may not know, you may be lost, but as you turn to Him, Jesus knew exactly what to do. Say to your neighbor right and left, Jesus knew what to do. You're very serious, huh? Yeah. Very soon I'll conclude, but I want to tell you a story to encourage you. I started work many years ago in the civil service. And then after that, I quit the civil service and moved on to my first job in the private sector, which is actually a financial institution. Okay, and I was a new staff. As a new staff in a financial institution, I undertake some responsibility. And one of those responsibilities is this. Every morning, a certain amount of documents will come to me. Okay, I'm supposed to sign it. And I want to let you know those days are early days. And if you know this is a situation, probably you are at my age lah. Okay, those days there were no such thing as email. Have lah, but very few people use. Everything is my hard copy memo. Okay, and there's no such thing as e-sign copy. Nothing. Okay, everything has to be by hard copy. And in those era, the computer is used, but not very extensively. Okay, and my task then was to receive a batch of documents, sign the document, and then because being new in the company, I need to submit this document to my immediate supervisor, who was then a very senior manager there. Okay, and he's supposed to take the document, sign on it, and then it will be dispatched out to other places or other institutions. And I do that every morning. Okay, every morning I'll sign, and then I will dispatch the document to my manager, and when he's not around, I will just leave it on his workstation or desk, and he will then take a look at it, sign, and then the document would go out. Okay, and that was this particular day, and it was a Friday, okay, and I signed the document, and then I went to his desk, wasn't there, I put the document on his at his workstation, and then I left. Okay, so I did that in the morning. At about 4 p.m., he came to my workstation and said, where's the document? There seems to be some missing document that from the stack of document that You gave to me. I said, no. I signed everything and I have given everything, all the documents that I have already passed on to you for your signature so that it can go on for the next part of the work. I said, no, I didn't receive this particular document. All I have, except this particular piece of document, I do not have. You didn't give it to me. And it seems to be an accusation because the way he spoke it was like an accusing tone that I didn't do my job. Have you been accused before? And you think that you have done it, and then somebody came and they said, you didn't do this part. Okay. Or you did something, and then another one say, you did something wrongly. But actually, I didn't do anything wrong. My job was to sign the document, pass the document to him so that he could sign it for the onward journey. But he was saying, no, you didn't give me that document. And I was very wrong, but I said, okay, never mind. I said, so how was the next step? Then he said this. He said, never mind. Monday, we're going to see the CEO. I said, this is a very important document. Okay, I just tell him that it's lost. You didn't give it to me to sign. Okay, and I was worried because why it had to happen on a Friday? My whole weekend burned, you know. Concerned, worried, confused, you know. Happen on a Thursday, next the suffering will be cut short, isn't it? If it's a Thursday, Friday, you're going to see the CEO. But it has to be on a Friday. Okay, and we don't work on Saturday. We don't work on Sunday. 2 days before we get to see the CEO. Then I say, do you check? I checked everything already. You didn't give the document to me. And I say, okay, then no choice lah. No, we're going to see the CEO lah, but I was praying inside lah. God, please intervene on my behalf. Please help me to overcome this very difficult, impossible situation. Because I was already at my weekend. You are a new staff. You have a senior manager. If you go and see your CEO, who do you think the CEO will believe? Of course, your senior manager lah, right? Yeah, you're such a new staff. New staff. You do not know many things. Sometimes you could be careless, you know. Sometimes you could be you could miss out things, you know. And I didn't have the relationship with the CEO. I didn't have the level of trust with the CEO. My resources were limited. I didn't have time because he has searched everything already. And Friday is a weekend. Okay, Saturday, Sunday, and how to search? Okay, I've done my part already in my workstation. I checked everything. I didn't have so worried like anything. Okay, I mean. Worrying is part, but you just, out of the worrying, you must still trust God. And when you turn to God, the peace of God will just come. And somehow I had the peace that God will intervene on my behalf. But I was prepared to do something. That if document cannot be found and he continue to excuse me, then the worst scenario would be I would be sacked. But before he sacked me, I would like to resign. Instead of, I mean, they'll give you the option to resign. And I was prepared to just lose my job and then move on to... But it wasn't a very good feeling because it was something that you didn't do, okay? And there was an accusation that was going on. And so Friday, 4 p.m., he came. 4:30, I left the office because those days very good. Office finished work at 5:30, 4:30 only, you know. They say, you leave early so that you could catch your train without the crowd. Yeah. Nowadays, we work 12 hours a day. Is that correct? Yeah. So... Friday, 4:30, I left, okay, and my whole weekend was, had carried the burden in my heart, but still praying. Saturday came, nothing happened. Sunday came, nothing happened, but I was, you carry a weight in your heart, okay. And then Monday came, finally the day came, Monday. I was wondering, wow, this suffering very long, Friday to Monday. And Monday came, okay, and we both of us went to see the CEO, and then they say, okay, my senior manager, come, let's go and see the CEO. Are you ready? I said, ready. And he didn't say anything about the missing document. He didn't speak to me about anything about the situation. What I saw, he was carrying a bag, okay, in his working bag. It was closed, okay, and then both of us went to see the CEO, ushered into his office, and both of us sit down. So the CEO asked, so what happened to the document? You told me the document was missing. And before I say a word, okay, my senior manager took out from his bag a document. The document was pasted on another piece of white paper because the document was shredded. shredded, put into a shredding machine, shredded. Okay, but after he pulled out the white paper, he actually spent the whole weekend pasting the broken pieces to form it back into a full document. And in the document, I saw my signature there, which proved that I have signed. Okay, I saw his signature there, which proved that he has seen it. Okay, and then he said, "What happened to the? How come the document is shredded?" He said, "Don't know." He also didn't know what happened. He just said that he spent the whole weekend on the Saturday and Sunday, and then found the document shredded. Normally, the cleaning lady would clear the shredded document, any rubbish by the end of the day. But that day, the shredded document was left there, and it was pasted over. Okay. Now I wonder, how come God you allowed the incident to happen on a Friday? Okay. Now I know why. Because he has to come back, pick up the document from the shredding machine, paste piece by piece. Okay, and so that I can be set free of the guilt and the accusation that God. And sometimes when the answer didn't come, God has His purpose. He is intervening on your behalf. You agree with that? Say amen. Yeah. Life is full of limited resources. We just do not know when an unexpected event comes. And when it comes, suddenly we are shocked. Okay, and we take a look at why like that? Okay, but perhaps we should ask God how we could navigate out of the situation. And God would always intervene now, because when you see that you are lost, when you see that you just do not know what to do, His purpose is to take a look at you. You are the lost sheep. You are a sheep who doesn't know what to do. God would intervene on our behalf. Amen. With that, I want to conclude. I want to get a worship team to be ready. Okay, life is not always smooth sailing. We know that. There will always be unforeseen circumstances. There will always be unexpected situations that will just pop up, disrupt our pattern, disrupt our plan, disrupt our routine. And when that happens, it brings a lot of discomfort, especially when you find that your resources are limited, or you do not have resources. No time, no money, no help, no relationship, and it brings anxiety. And this story of feeding of the 5,000 remind us to always rely on Abba Father. You can complain to God, no problem. But after the complaining, after the questioning and all those things, let us give thanks for the resources that God has given to us. God can turn those resources, multiply those resources, and help us in our situation and give to us a breakthrough. Yeah, when we face life situation, turn to God. Ask God if He has a purpose. There is always a purpose. Sometimes you may know, sometimes you may not know, but God always helps. At His time, in His timing, He makes all things beautiful. I want to give you some time to reflect upon the message. Let the truth of the Lord be deposited in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is working. He wants to reveal to you truth. So don't let the moment go. Grab this time, grab this moment. Let the Holy Spirit deposit something into your spirit. You can bring back and you can apply it in your life. Is that okay? I want to go silent. Spend some moments thinking about the message, reflecting upon it. We will sing a closing song as a response to God. All of us face uncertain situation, unexpected turn of events, and we can commit these situations to the Lord. God will provide a way out. As we sing this song, we also want to give opportunity for those who are currently facing very, very complicated situation. And take a look at yourself, take a look at the resources. Actually, there's nothing very much. No time. No wisdom, no way out. If that's you, I want to invite you to just respond to God. Coming to the front, our leaders would like to stand with you, to pray with you. God, look at you. He look at your heart. He would help you. He will provide a way out. Some of you may be taking on additional responsibility. And you just say, oh, why me again? Okay, I'm already very stretched, very tired. And I just do not want to, if can, I don't want to be in this situation. But God has called you. God has bring you into the situation because God wants to bless the work of your hand. But you take a look at yourself, you say, I can't. God say, don't say can. Take a look at the resources that you have. Commit it to God, and God wants to multiply your help. Multiply the help that you have, the resources that you have, and give to you a breakthrough in whatever God has called you to do. And if that's you too, I want to invite you to come. Our leaders would like to pray with you. Is that okay? Shall we stand? And as we sing this song, if you really want God to help you, and you say that I cannot help it, I do not know what to do, my resources are so limited, I want to invite you to look to the unlimited God. Is that okay? Yeah, come. Altar is open. If it's you, come to the front. We're going to pray for you. Pray with you. The altar is open. If you have a need, come. We'll pray for you. Let's sing it again. God is over the storm. Higher than your storm, higher than the situation that you are in, come to Him. You will sail safely through the flood, the storm.
Sing Hide Me Now.
Hide Me Now. God is over the flood. We'll just sing the chorus one more time and then we'll close. Let's pray together. Father God, you know how limited we are in our resources, in our wisdom. You know how limited we are in working out solution. We are so restricted, Lord. But God, you say in your word, we can turn to you. We can give thanks and look to you, our Father in heaven, who is unlimited and you will provide solution. You will multiply the resources that you have, and we can look to you for supernatural intervention in the situation that we are facing. And God, we just want to give you thanks for your presence. Today, we will stop complaining, but Lord, we turn to you for help, knowing that God, you are in control, you are sovereign, and nothing can separate you from the love that you have for every one of us. Not angels, not demons, not height, not depth, not any situation. But God, today we have faith in you, your love for us, and that everything will work out well for those who seek after you and love you, Lord. So God, we thank you. And as we depart from this place, we pray, Father, that your presence will go with us, that your help will go with us, and your wisdom of the Holy Spirit will just go with us. God, we thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.